I'm Dave Pommettier, and it is a pleasure today to welcome live at noon Juliana Hatfield.
Hello.
There is so much to talk about with the new album, so why don't, if you do us a song, we'll find something to talk about in the song.
All right, this is a song off the new album. This song's called Shining On. Juliana Hatfield with us live at noon today. I'm not going to make the assumption that all the songs on the new album, and that one especially, are necessarily about you or from your own experience. Not autobiographical. You're not going to assume
I'm
that?
I'm not going to make that
Why
assumption.
Not?
Because then I would feel really sorry for you. There's some tough stuff that goes on in this album.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sadness. There's a lot of loneliness on the album. But I also think that if you read between the lines, there's a lot of hope. That's how I see it.
Well, that song does have hope.
Yeah. That song is just very much about trying to remember the good things and forget the bad things. It's about forgiving and moving on.
In the middle of the song, you're asking, were you accused of this, or did you do that, or whatever. But by the end, you're kind of remembering that magical first kiss in the stairwell and all of that.
Yeah, just trying to remember all the good things and let the bad memories just sort of dissipate, you know.
But then you don't, if you do that successfully, you don't end up walking away ultimately.
Well, I mean, you walk away to get out of a bad situation, yeah. And then the hope is that you will be stronger and have more clarity once you're out of the bad situation, then you can move on from there with wisdom, you know? Wisdom and experience they're good things to have.
Wisdom and experience are wonderful things.
Yes.
But experience is only good if it comes with wisdom.
That's true.
I got lots of experience, and I ain't that bright. You know what I mean? I haven't learned a lot from it.
Well, that's why you have to always be conscious about what's happening. You know, like, try to be conscious of, you know, feel every situation out, and if it doesn't feel right to you, then, you know, you got to get out.
And then try to step back and get the distance from it
exactly.
To recognize the good things.
Yeah, and move on, take all of the good and the wisdom with you, and move on and hopefully be more, you'll be able to live your life a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
All of our, you know, the sad, difficult things, they make us who we are, and they give us empathy for other people, and life would be boring without a mixture of the good and bad. The bad makes the good seem good.
Or at least makes the good seem gooder.
Yes.
If there was such a word as gooder.
Yeah.
There is a theory that humans in general tend to forget pain, you know, and forget painful things. Pain. Uh-huh. For example, me, if I didn't forget how painful it was, I would never go back to the dentist.
Right.
For example. Do you think that's true with relationships?
I don't know. I think people can try to forget, but I think that all the trauma is in us. It's somewhere deep inside of us. We never forget. It's becomes part of our DNA, I think. And, it makes people, you know, protective and wary of getting into new relationships, but we do it anyway. You know, we're always fighting against the pain, I think. And I as a songwriter, I'm always trying to remember the pain because I like to write about it.
Well, of course, it's a great subject.
Yeah.
You know,
and everyone can relate. You know, everyone knows what it's like to have a broken heart.
A friend of mine whose name I will not mention, he's one of these guys who really, he's a true believer in love and romance.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, three marriages kind of speaks to that. I mean, he just...
He
really believes, yeah. And after the second divorce, I said, geez, it's really too bad, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Getting divorced and all that. He said, it's okay. I got two albums out of the first divorce.
That's how I feel every time, you know, after a breakup, I feel like, I'm going to get some great songs out of this. You know, I'm going to make something really great out of this. I'm not going to suffer for nothing. I'm going to get some songs, damn it.
And all art is based on suffering to some extent or another.
All good art is.
Ooh, interesting. How about doing...
No, there's some great happy songs, some great happy paintings. Yeah.
But they come from suffering. They have to. At some level.
Do they?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I wasn't the only one suffering out there.
Yeah, who wants to hear someone singing about how happy he is?
Right.
We don't want
right,
to hear that.
Right. Once again, one of my friends, and I will say who this one is, Pierce Pettis, is a very fine songwriter out of Nashville. Somebody asked him, he said, Pierce, why are your songs so depressing and miserable?
Uh-huh.
And he said, because when I'm happy, I don't write songs. I ride my bike.
Yeah,
I play ball with my kids.
You go pick flowers.
Exactly.
Tiptoeing through the tulips when you're happy.
Do you want to do another song for us?
Yeah, this is a song called The Fact Remains. I stayed until the Star Spangled Banner played. couldn't keep my eyes open. I stayed till the buds dried up and fell off on the table. And there was no hope of my saving them till the last levee broke and the floods came and washed away our home. Then it was over, and I will never be the same. I finally wised up, but the fact remains, I stayed too long. I stayed until the last of the bottles was empty and rising by my head. I stayed till there was no more air in the room, and my tears no longer moved you, till you lied, and you lied, and you lied, and you lied, and you lied again. Then it was over, and I will never be the same. I finally wised up, but the fact remains, I stay too long. Next time maybe I will know how to walk away with pride and grace and faith in myself, knowing how the world works and the way that things change.
Juliana Hatfield with us here on WUMB. How to Walk Away is the new album, which is a line contained in that song. He said, thank you, Captain Obvious, for having said that.
No one else notices.
Oh, please.
No.
We do have a tendency to do that, to just stay too long in whatever situation it is.
Yeah, it's true.
As I was listening to that song and as I've listened to it on the album, I kept thinking, darn, that must have been fun to write.
Getting
all those metaphors for, you know, sticking around too long, the flowers falling apart on the table and all of that. What great metaphors.
Thanks. It was fun. It was tricky. You know, it was tricky trying to fit all the words in. There's that reference to I stayed until the Star Spangled Banner played, and that's, you know, the young kids aren't gonna understand that, because I was thinking of, remember when the TV, before cable TV, when the TV stations used to go off at night, they'd go black at maybe like 1 a.m, and the American flag would show on the screen, and the Star Spangled Banner would play, and then all the stations would go dark for the night. That's what I was referring to.
And God bless you for asking if I remembered that. You're looking at me, and you can ask, does he remember that? Thank you.
Do you? Yeah.
Kind of vaguely. Same way I remember the 60s. Kind of vaguely.
Right.
Yeah.
People born, you know, later than 1980 aren't really going to understand that reference.
But that's fine.
That's fine, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't expect to get everything in every song, do we?
No, and I don't expect other people to get everything in my songs. I like it when people bring their own interpretations to my songs.
Really?
Yeah. As long as it's not... As long as it doesn't reflect badly upon me, they're wrong interpretations.
But it's okay if they get some whole different idea about the song than what you had.
As long as they can relate to it in some way. I like it when people can get whatever they want out of my songs.
The structure of that song was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It really is hard
to remember all of the chords. It's weird.
Because you basically do, you know, verse, chorus, and then it looks like you're going into a bridge, but it's something else goes on, and then you're back to the... And then you lied and lied and lied.
Yeah. And it was definitely a tricky song to put together, and tricky to remember. And then there's the words that are sort of... Some of the verses are phrased in a kind of odd way. But yeah, it was definitely an exercise in songwriting.
Now,
Tricky songwriting.
Do I remember there was a Berklee part of your past?
Yep, there was. I was 4 years at Berklee College of Music.
But probably before they had the big songwriting courses.
They had pop songwriting courses. I took a couple, and, you know, I have to say, I tried not to retain any of the stuff that they taught me, just because I think a songwriter kind of has an instinct for writing a song, and I feel like I kind of already had a knack for it, and I was writing songs when I was a little kid, and I just wanted to hold on to my instinct and not be too influenced by the craft that they were trying to teach. You know, they would use hit songs as models, and I didn't want to be really writing according to a template. But you know, they had definitely had some good tips and pointers for people who. But I was always kind of off on my own tangent with the writing, you know, doing my own thing.
Originally, I think all of us, or people in general, I can't speak for you, of course. That's why you're here to speak. I think we start out in whatever art we do in an imitative way. You know, we kind of have models that we work from, and then we grow from that. And if you were writing songs when you were very young, then by the time you got to Berklee, you were already past that.
Well, I mean, I was already doing it, you know. I was in a band already, and, you know, I'd been writing songs before I got to Berklee. So yeah, when I took the pop songwriting course, it was more sort of like I needed to fill a slot with a class, and I was curious, and it was definitely an interesting experience, and I'm sure it was really helpful to a lot of people. But I just felt like, I can do this already. I know how to do this. I was kind of cocky.
I think I would find it interesting to, you know, to take a course like that, to see why things work, why things affect me, you know, why usually in a pop song, the chorus is a step up from the verse, and,
right,
you know, all those kind of cheesy tricks that I fall for every time.
Well, you know, what was interesting taking that course was that they were showing me what I was kind of already doing, you know, like you were saying, you know, the chorus going up,
yeah.
And I realized that, oh yeah, I'm doing these things by instinct already, and they're teaching what came naturally to me. It was really interesting to see that. I mean, Berklee definitely gave a voice to, you know, before Berklee I was doing my musical thing, but after Berklee I sort of had more of a language to explain what I was doing.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
Nope. I want to talk about writing and other kinds of writing. Because I think there's an autobiography that's in the works. But
my memoir.
Why don't you do another song, and then we'll talk about that.
All right. This one's called So Alone. It's late at night, and you need somebody to talk to. But who of all those people that you once knew? And if you call, just what would you say? Would you break down straight away? You're so alone, so alone. You wanna die, and nobody knows. You're so alone, so alone. You wanna die, and nobody knows. You keep leaving messages. Say any pretending you're okay. You disguise your fear so you don't scare them away. You don't want to go to sleep because the nightmares keep you awake. Your heart is beating strangely. Nausea and pain throughout your body. You're so alone, so alone. You wanna die and nobody knows. You're so alone, so alone. You wanna die and nobody knows. You're so alone, so alone. In the night when people go home, you're so alone, so alone. You wanna die and nobody knows.
That's Juliana Hatfield here on WUMB. One of the things that I love about that song, and it isn't even the writing in this particular case about that song, though we could talk about the writing for a while, it's the performance, because you vary the vocal quality and the attack on that in a way that makes me think that, you know, there's periods of it that I'm thinking, the singer in the song is saying, okay, I can do this, I can be alone, I'm okay. No, I can't!
Yeah, that's very perceptive of you. I think that's kind of what was going on. That's the subtext, or that's the feeling, yeah. I mean, it's a feeling of trying to get through a really rough night, and there is that kind of push and pull, like, I'm so scared, I'm afraid, I need to talk to someone, but then, you know, there's no one to talk to, so I got to get through this myself, and so, yeah, you're right.
It is an interesting ebb and flow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And ultimately, we get through it.
Yeah, and we're not alone. I mean, at the end, I turn it around, and I turn the you to me, and I admit that I'm talking about myself. And so, you know, I'm alone, you're alone, and that means we have something in common. We're both alone, so we're not alone.
Do you think of yourself in the first person or the third person?
The first person.
You do?
Yeah.
When I do something stupid, I think of myself in the third person. I think it's safer that way. Like,
Dave,
why did you do that? You know, that's what I mean. But when I've done something good, I think of myself in the first person. I just go, yeah, I am good.
Yeah.
I am so good.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, same with me.
Interesting.
Like, yes, I scold myself. You're such an idiot. You're an idiot.
Right.
What are you doing?
And you're thinking about yourself in the third person.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I am an idiot.
Right.
I am stupid. Autobiography, memoir, is there a difference for you?
What is the difference? I guess I don't know the difference.
Well, that is... See, as soon as I said autobiography, you said memoir, and all of a sudden I had a crisis. I was thinking, do I know the difference?
We need to call someone to answer this question.
Yeah.
I think memoir of... Well, I think autobiography is the story of a whole person's life from birth to the ending. And I think a memoir maybe is a story of a particular part of a person's life. And in, for example, my book is about my life in music.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, my beginnings in music, my inspirations, and my career, the ups and downs. And that's my idea of what the difference is between memoir and autobiography. I could be wrong.
I also wonder if it's a question of perspective. because I'm thinking of an autobiography as something that one would write at the end of life, looking back on the whole life, where a memoir is something that you kind of, you know, you kind of write as you go.
Yeah, and you can write it when you're young. I mean, Drew Barrymore wrote her memoir at, what, like 13 or something? I read it. It was
yeah, but on the other hand, it took me 30 years to be in rehab as often as she did before she was 13. So, you know, she had a lot to write about. Come on.
I think you're right about that. Autobiography seems like a more serious, daunting task than a memoir.
So the book that you're doing, we don't get the, I was born on a small farm in Maine.
Every time I read an autobiography, the first chapter is, to me, is always boring. It's this, you know, the birth, the grandparents, the parents, you know, it's always really boring.
Just get to the meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The earliest I go back, it's not structured in a really traditional way. I kind of look back from different places in my life, and it's mixed in with the story of a month-long tour, a tour diary.
Oh, interesting.
It's interspersed with the story of my life in music, and the farthest I go back is I talk about being in high school and mention being a child a couple of times.
Well, yeah, because we make the assumption that at some point you were a child.
Yes.
You know, it's an easy assumption to make.
Yeah.
High school, we'll give you high school.
Yeah.
You know.
You can't assume that I went to high school or finished high school, though I did finish high school.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And it's good that you mentioned that in the book, because I'm sure the parents are pleased with that.
Yeah. And the book's called, I should say, it's called When I Grow Up, and it's coming out in late September.
And just remember that you have to grow old, but you don't have to grow up.
Right.
I think we're all examples of that.
Yeah.
So this coming out in late September?
Yeah.
And the new album came out Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. And Monday night you've got another little gig to do on the Tonight Show?
Yeah, I'm playing on Jay Leno's show on Monday, and that should be fun. Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. Kind of nervous, kind of excited.
I gotta ask though, did they tell you which song you're gonna do, or do you?
No, I mean they sort of. There were a couple that we were proposing, a couple of different songs, and we generally. You play the single on the TV show, and the single happens to be a song that we all liked, that Leno show liked it, and I like it, and so that's the one we're going to do, the song called This Lonely Love.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out easily this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can follow your travels and the eventual release of the book and find out about future recordings, which I hope there will be, on your website. JulianaHatfield.com?
Yep. One N, Juliana Hatfield.
Good to point that out.
Yeah.
Though if I were you, I would register the domain with the two N's, too, just in case people get screwed up. But anyway.
Yeah, I think.
If you got one more you could do for us, this has been fascinating. We should do this again after the autobiography or the memoir. Or the memoir, whichever it is out.
Yeah. How about the memography?
That's very good.
Or the automoire.
That's kind of, no, it sounds like
autobiomoire.
It sounds like armoire, which is something totally different.
But memography sounds too much like mammography.
Yeah, but, you know, I think somebody writing a memoir or autobiography can be pretty painful.
Let me tell you, the mammogram is not fun.
And
can we talk? Let's not talk about that.
How about one more song? This has been great fun. It's great meeting you.
This is one that I did not write. And it goes like this. I see a bad moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight, it's bound to take your life. I hope you have got your things together. I hope you are quite prepared to die. It looks like we're in for nasty weather.